So we're ready to go? Okay, so welcome to class number two of the introduction to the Greek New Testament here at Gillette Bible Institute. And I am excited to have everyone here. Well, now let's take a look at just some review. Before we look at your homework, let's just go over the pronunciation of the Greek alphabet and the Greek vowels. Again, many of them look just like the English letter, and it's equivalent, and so you already know. So the alpha is an A sound, like ah in father. B, gamma is a G sound, delta. The epsilon, that is a short E, so E as in pet. The zeta, a DZ sound. Moving to the second line, we have the eta. It looks like an N, but it's really a long A sound, so it's an eta. Then the theta, then the iota. It's usually pronounced with the short I, like I in pit. Okay, but there are some times that you do pronounce it like an E. I don't have any hard and fast rules on that, but most of the time it's short. Kappa, lambda, mu, nu. Remember that the one that looks like the N is the A. The one that looks like the V is the N, okay? And you remember when somebody asks you what's new, you say it's the 13th letter in the Greek alphabet. Okay, I love that. Omicron, it's a short O, and there really is not much difference between the short O and the short A. So what's the difference between the alpha and the omicron? One is father, one is like dot. There isn't much difference. There probably was much difference, but it's a dead language and much of it we've lost. Okay, so we do the best that we can. Be very hard to go back and say we found exactly the way that they can pronounce it. But I will say this is very hopeful because most languages, there are similarities. Okay, the pi, the rho, the sigma. Remembering that the first sigma, the circle with the line on the top, it's anywhere the sigma is found in the beginning or the middle. When the sigma is on the end, it is what looks like the S. The tau, upsilon, like the German U, U, that's how it's pronounced. Not the short U, the phi, the chi, the psi, and the omega. So that's the pronunciation. Well, let's go over our homework and let's go over the pictures. All right. Did you have fun with those? Yours was what? The sound. The sound, yes. Okay, bird. Right, right. And see what we're doing? We're going against the grain by doing this. But yeah, it's still somewhat helpful. Okay, so having said that, okay, well we'll save bird. But why don't we start with you, Carol, on okay. The top left one. That's a picture of what?
I would say
a robe. A robe, okay, a picture of a robe. And so give me the Greek letters of how you spelled that.
Rho, omicron,
theta. Okay, very good. That's right. That's right. You have the long O in the omega. Now, Oh, okay. Should have been an omega for the long O.
Now,
okay. And let me just say, there is no right or wrong in this part. Okay. So everyone's a winner here today. you know, all we're learning to do is just to pronounce the letters. So I will accept variations. Matt Wallacek ran into a problem because there is no W sound in the Greek. So, yeah, we did. So, Daryl wisely just used the omega because it looked like a W, and I'll accept that. Everyone's a winner here today. That's true. There you go. That I would accept that. Very good. Okay, we're doing the top line. So, Daryl, will you do the top one in the middle? And what is that a picture of?
A top.
A top. And what are the Greek letters?
Tau, omega, and pi.
Tau, omega, and pi. Okay, Randy, yes, you have a question? Okay, so you would think that maybe an omicron might go there. I would think maybe the omicron is a short O, and the omega is a long O. So, yeah, if you put the omega there, it would be a taupe. So maybe the omicron would be better. But as I said, everyone's a winner here today. So very good, Daryl. Okay, let's do Deb Selby. If you do the top picture on the right-hand side, what is that a picture of? Picture of a bed, and how would you spell that if you were to use Greek letters?
Beta, epsilon, delta.
Excellent. Beta, epsilon, delta. And that would be bed. So maybe I can write some of these down here. All right, very good. Okay, Krissa, moving to the second line now on the left-hand side, what is the next picture? A dart. And how would you spell that with Greek letters?
Delta, alpha, rho, tau.
Very good. So that would be delta, alpha, rho, and tau. Now, when you write the letters, you know, they don't have to be exactly as you see them in printed form. Okay? I mean, that's similar to that, but like, notice that the alpha here, similarly, we just kind of do something like that. It almost even looks like a fish. Okay, and if you don't get every little squiggly line on it, you know, as long as you know what you're writing, that's the main thing. Okay, so when you write down a Greek word and you go back to it later, you know what you wrote. Okay, so dart. All right, and let's see, let's go over here to Josh. Josh, what is that picture? Oh,
needle.
Or point. Which do you think it is, Josh?
Point.
Okay, so can you give me the transliteration of point?
And
tau?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, you know what? I'm gonna accept that. Because everyone's a winner here today. On two reasons, okay? You could have also written an omega there, and that would have been the long O sound. But this week, we're going to learn what a diphthong is. A diphthong is two letters, two vowels together, and they make a sound. And it just so happens that the omicron iota is a diphthong, and it just so happens that it is the long O sound. So, Josh, you are already advanced in this. Excellent. Very good. Okay. Okay, Tyrell, my son. What is that a picture of? And no, it's not Batman. A bat. Okay, and what are the Greek letters to spell that? How very good. Bat. Okay. And if you were probably reading in the Greek and you saw these letters, beta, alpha, tau, it would probably be something along the lines of bot. Okay. Bot. Yes. No, don't. Yeah, but the good thing is there's not a whole lot of them. There's maybe like about six or seven. Let me see. Six. You know that. How do you know that already? That's great. Okay. Well, seven. But we'll take a look at that. Okay. All right, so now we have next Matt Wallace check. Matt, we're on the third line. And what is that next picture?
Well, I call it parrot.
Okay. Okay. All right. And if you were just going to say that in the Greek, you would probably specifically say that parat. Parat. That A sound is a ah, as in father. Okay. But yes, parrot. Very good. Okay. Bert. A bird? Yeah. Okay. I guess I would go beta, iota, rho. And I think I would probably use the zeta, birds. I'd make it plural. Yeah, that. Well, or no, delta.
No, because it doesn't turn iota. Iota. Isn't it either an it?
It is. Yes, yes. Yeah, one might think of an upsilon, bird, a bird, but very good. Well, and you know what? And I appreciate the attention to detail, because when we start looking at these Greek words, you know, you are already recognizing what is the accurate pronunciation. Oops, it's the iota. Oh, yes. And you know what? When we were training and learning Spanish to go on our mission trip to Mexico, it was horrible. I didn't know if I was speaking English, Greek, or Spanish. So, okay, the next one, Nicole. What is that a picture of? A boat. And how would you spell that? Very good. Yep. That really pronounces it. That pronounces it. And if by chance you went beta, omicron, alpha, and tau, that's all right, because everybody's a winner here today. All right. All right. And Randy. What did you... Okay, what's the next picture? I was going to give you a harder one, but... Oh, my word. No, it's a Siamese. There you go. Oh, okay. All right. And how did you spell cat?
Kappa, alpha, tau.
Okay. Kappa, alpha, tau. Could there be an alternative spelling if we were going to do that? You could use the chi. Yeah. So, all right. Well, very good. Well, let's kind of move on from there and go ahead and get into this next part. All right. Look at your notes, which I haven't handed out yet. Okay. Here's your notes. Let's see. I'll do three if you do four. If you'll take a look down Roman numeral 3, miscellaneous info concerning the Greek alphabet. So I wasn't able to cover everything with you last time. So we are going to attempt to fill in some of the gaps. All right. Okay, so if you'll take a look then at the miscellaneous info concerning the Greek alphabet, Roman numeral 3, we see on the first line it's going to speak of the iota. As we said before, that the iota is usually pronounced with a short I. Now, sometimes it's a long E. And to my shame, I've not really heard of a rule for when we do it. There probably is one, but... You know, it's so rare, and I guess when you're in a Greek class and you hear the professor pronounce it over and over, you just adopt the way he does. Like, there's a particular preposition, a very popular common preposition. This is a delta, iota, alpha. It's dia. Not dia, but dia. That's just the way I've always been taught. And it means through. Okay? It means through, like if you were going to go through a circle. Very, very important one. By the way, this particular one here also has the meaning of agency. And many times it will tell us that something happened to us spiritually through the agency of Jesus Christ. It will give and ascribe to Him much of the agency of what was accomplished. Well, everything in salvation was accomplished through, dia, through the agency of Jesus Christ. Anyway, that's pronounced dia. And there's a few other ones. But here's the important part that I want to say. When the iota, or sometimes when the iota is at the beginning of a word, it is pronounced with a Y. Like the name Jesus, which means Jesus. Okay? And by the way, the Hebrew name Joshua means the Lord saves. Jesus means the Lord saves because Jesus is a transliteration of the Hebrew word Joshua. And in the Greek, it's Jesus, and you don't pronounce the J, it's a yay. Okay, so Jesus Christos. All right. So that's just one of the ways in which it is pronounced. Not every time it's at the beginning of a word, but certainly for Jesus, and there are other words. Okay, another little technical thing is the letter gamma. When you have two gammas together in a word, okay, it's pronounced NG. Okay? Like this word right here. This is not pronounced agalos. It's pronounced angelos. Okay? When the two G's are together. Or if a gamma, G. If a gamma is before a kappa or a chi, then it also is pronounced NG. So it's angelos. All right. Just something to help you out when you take a look at that. No. Okay. What you would do then is the gamma itself becomes the NG, and then you would pronounce the K. Okay. And yeah. Yeah, so whenever the gamma is together with one of those letters, it's an NG. So it's
the first gamma becomes an NG.
Yeah. Right. Right. And normally you're going to see it this way with the two gammas. There's numerous words with the two gammas. Okay. And then we'll come to the idea of capitals. Generally, capitals are not taught in most Greek classes because it's so rare. The New Testament Greek that we now read and published is all small letters, even though it was originally written in capital letters. In fact, there is the Codex Sinaiticus is the first Greek Bible that's online. The entire Bible is online in the Greek, and that is written in capital letters. But if you go to the side, it'll give you the small letters, and it'll even give you a translation. And there's some very good notes in there. And it was interesting, as someone was going around looking for more manuscripts, he went to the Sinai Monastery, and he found the monks starting the fire with this paper, this old parchment. And when he looked at it, it was the Codex Sinaiticus. And anyway, That's really cool to look at on the internet. You might want to do it. And it was actually an achievement because it ended up getting broken up into four different parts and having four different owners. Well, the owners at least got together to say, okay, let's allow it to be scanned and digitized. And so it's really cool. You're looking at, you know, a copy, but it's still one of the earliest copies that the whole Bible is collected together. I don't know the exact website right now. I can give it to you, but it's called the Codex Sinaiticus, just like Sinai. Sinaiticus. If you'll do a search on that, it'll come up the webpage, and you can search it, and it's awesome. Okay, so we don't really have to concern ourselves with the capitals. I will say this though, that if you have a Greek New Testament, at the very top of the heading, the title of the book is in Greek. The title of the book is in capitals. Of course it's in Greek. It's in capitals. But here's the thing. Number one is some of the capitals, and many of them, are very easy to just look at. Like on your papers, are the Alpha, it looks like R capital A, R capital B, R capital E, M, K, and so on. There are a few that would give us a little problem, but you know most of those already. You won't find it in the study of the Scriptures, just at the top of the headings, and usually, you know, you can figure it out. So we don't really spend any time on that. But just in case you're looking at a Greek Bible and you see these letters in the top, you say, well, I didn't learn those in Greek class. Well, those are capitals, and here's what they are. All right, if we'll go to Roman numeral number 4, let's look at the pronunciation of the diphthongs. Diphthong is when two letters together make a combined pronunciation. And again, some of these are very explanatory. For instance, the one we talked about before, when the word point, we had the omicron and the iota, O-I, and it makes an oi sound like oil. All right, so when we look at alpha and iota, when you put those two vowels together and there is a process and it is a grammatical formula, you come away with the sound of I. So, when you're going into the Bible and you read this, kappa, alpha, iota, that's pronounced how? Chi. And that is perhaps one of the most common common words in the New Testament, and it means and. It actually can mean and, but, and even, okay? Now, how do you know which one it should mean? Context, okay? So that's a big thing about Greek, and we're not really going to spend a whole lot of time in this class in that, but it's a very common word, and it generally means and, so chi. By the way, do you remember John 1:1? Okay. In the beginning was halagos, the word chi, and halagos was with the theos, the theon, God, chi, and God, and the Word was God. By the way, I'm going to point something out right now. As you begin to recognize the words, there is no... The word order in Greek can be anything. It doesn't have to be like English, subject, verb, and direct object. Now, in the Greek, it's a whole lot easier to determine what's the subject, verb, and the direct object because of the endings. In fact, literally, I learned English grammar by coming to learn Greek grammar. I would say, oh, is that what that meant in grammar class? Well, with the Greek, it's highly detailed and there's no misunderstanding about which one's the direct object, which one's the verb, and so it's a very detailed language. But the word order then, I'm not going to say it doesn't have any meaning, it does, but it can be in any word order at all. All right? Usually what will happen is they'll use it for emphasis. Like sometimes they'll go through the whole sentence and at the very end they'll do the verb. Well, you can be sure that's an emphasis because of the word order. Sometimes a word is used first. And that's to put in your mind, and think about this, think about the logic. When the author wrote that, he led your mind to think of this word first, and then this word, and then this word. He leads your mind logically through his expression, so he can be extremely detailed. You know, with our English, I mean, we say words all the time, and it's like, well, what way did you mean that? You know, what way did you mean that? Well, with the Greek, it's very detailed. Okay, so the first diphthong is I, as it's an alpha iota. The next diphthong is epsilon iota, and it's pronounced A. Okay? So I guess we just have to recognize that. So epsilon iota is A. And there is another Greek preposition. Ooh, this is good. Okay. It's... can anyone pronounce this word? If this is the A sound, and this is a sigma, just in case you can't read my Greek.
Ace.
Ace. That's exactly. It's a preposition, and it's used all the time, and it's the preposition into. Okay, so if you think of a circle, it goes into. This is a very common preposition that's used when it talks about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is always moving, and your faith moves until it rests on or into Jesus Christ. So it's a beautiful picture of what salvation is. So salvation is not like just an intellectual, oh yeah, I know the facts and I agree with the facts. No, your faith believes on Christ. Your faith is moving into Christ and rests in Christ. And that's the diphthong ace. Okay? There are some people who do pronounce this ice, and I don't know why, and I do believe that they're incorrect. And then one day at this church that I was at, where there were some people that did pronounce this ice, and I said, no, it needs to be ace. There was a fellow who came over from Greece. He teaches at the Greek Bible Institute in Greece. He is American, but he knows both modern Greek and Koine Greek. And so we asked him. And he said, well, to be honest with you, he did say it should be ace. But he also said that in modern Greek, they don't use this preposition anymore. This preposition is used, the preposition en. So, in other words, there's an evolving going on, and it's used so often that this word now encompasses all of the meanings of in. Okay, let me get detailed for just a moment, just to show you what Greek is all about. The preposition en, think of a circle and think of a dot in the middle, in. Ace, think of a circle and moving from outside into it. So there definitely is a difference, and I'll show you why. When you receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit places you in Christ. This preposition right here. So, when you see that little expression in the book of Ephesians, in Christ, oh, it's huge. It means here's the circle, which is Christ. And all of these blessings are in Christ. And if you receive Christ as your Savior, you are in the sphere of Christ with all of these blessings that are yours. So you can see a detailed distinguishing, but just for fun sometime, go to the book of Ephesians and write down all the time you see the phrase in Christ, in Him, in Jesus. It's not just a fun way or a good way to end your letters, you know, in Christ, Daryl. It really means something, and it's a powerful positional truths that are in Jesus Christ. Okay. The next one is alpha upsilon, and really kind of looks like our English ow. All right. And that's doable. You can come up with an ow sound, can't you, with an alpha and an upsilon, or an A and a U, an ow. You know, sort of.
Well, you're not getting the upsilon sound, you're getting
Yeah, that's right. So it's an ow. Okay, now the next one is the Omicron Upsilon, and you get the oo sound. Now this one we definitely can have in English. Okay, the O and the U diphthong in English is an oo sound, like in hoot, moot, scoot. Okay, you know what? That's the other thing. Yeah, there's a cook and a foot and a book. But anyway, so this diphthong, it's an oo. And that's all you really need to remember. Next, you have the Omicron and the iota. And there it's an oi sound, like oil, boil. Okay. Now, here's an interesting one, this next one. It is an upsilon and iota, and it's pronounced we. Okay? It's pronounced we. And I want you to remember that because you're going to see that in just a moment. All right, a we. All right, epsilon, upsilon is the diphthong u. Or oo. Okay? Oo. Sure. We, like W-E, like we're all in this class together. We. Yeah.
Not really a W sound, but more of a U.
No, I would say, yep, the W sound. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to give you an illustration in just a moment that'll solidify that. It's very, very, very good. Okay, so not forgetting that, but those are the diphthongs. Any other questions on the diphthongs? And we'll just get used to them, and we'll just, you know, go over them again. Yes?
Upsilon.
Right. Okay. Yeah, right. And again, there definitely is probably a difference in the original. But you know, even in our own, well, let's see, you know, even in our own language, you know, an A and an O can sound alike in some instances. And yeah, and it has these funny rules. But you know, as far as we're learning it here, I mean, if you were to pronounce a word for anybody, you know, this would just help you pronounce it to where it's, you know, close.
Something I might be able to point out is, like, you're looking at that word up there and you just say it like it's K-I, cut. Yeah. And most languages, things get hurried. But originally, it's
Yes. Yes.
It's like that in Hawaii, and a lot of things you look at, and it's just, that sounds like straight E. Well, it's two vowel sounds, and it's like it should be K-A-E.
That's exactly what it is. Right.
If you get to really practice saying it really slowly until you learn how to run it together, your ear will start to connect.
Yes. And you know, not only that, but sometimes it's difficult to say. In other words, instead of an ah-e, you know, how awkward is that? Or an ah-ah. If you have two A's together, you know, is very awkward. So all languages go through an evolution. And that's what a diphthong is when you put letters together, you make one sound instead of two. So very good. And those are the Greek rules, and we don't have to go through them here, but in the New Testament Greek class, we show you exactly the two letters that go together and the diphthong that it makes. And you really don't necessarily need to know that. if you just know how to pronounce it. Well, let's go to another one as far as these miscellaneous pronunciations. There is something in Greek called a rough breathing and a smooth breathing. Okay, and it has to do with either a vowel or a diphthong at the beginning of a word. So that's where we're talking here, the beginning of the word. You're not going to find this rule when it's in the middle. It has a breathing then. It's either rough or smooth. Now, okay, here's where we're going to pick up the word or the diphthong we. A rough breathing is indicated by an apostrophe that points to the end of the word, okay? How else would you describe that?
It's
a rough end, a smooth beginning. Okay, a rough end. I'll take that. Especially if it helps you remember. So it's so here's a word then. We have the diphthong upsilon iota, and then we have the letters omicron sigma for os on the end. What this is pronounced as is huios, because when there's a rough breathing, you add an H. If it's a smooth breathing, you don't add anything. It's just normal. But with this apostrophe that points towards the end of the word, rough end, smooth beginning, it's you add the H sound. Now, it's huios. And huios is a very important word in the Greek. Does anyone know what huios is? Okay. Huios means, okay, and I've got the rough breathing. Huios means son. The son of God. Huios of God. Now, what was interesting is there is a word, and I forget how to spell it, but I know how to pronounce it. The word for pig is huis. Huis. And at the time of Jesus' birth, when the children were being killed, a Greek writer wrote, it was better to be a huis than a huias, because all of the firstborn or all of the males were being killed. So, you know, that I've remembered that from the first time that I heard that. It's always helped me remember that this is the we sound, and then with the rough breathing, it's huis. So it would be pronounced H. Well, how would you? You know, I don't know. I'm not sure how to transliterate that. Well, huios. That's probably how I would transliterate it. It might be incorrect, but
so would we be the diphthong sigma?
The we
or just
is that diphthong right there? Okay, yeah, if you take away the omicron, it's just we. Then with the rough breathing, it's hui, and then it's os. So, hui, os.
I'm sorry, my question was a pig. Is it just without the... So, when he says it's better to be a hui than a hui, os, was it just...
Yes, it would be... Right. Again, I'm not exactly sure how to spell pig in Greek. Let me just take a look here. Maybe we can...
Well, that was the statement that was made about Herod. It's better to be a pig than Herod's son.
Yeah.
Than to be a son.
Yeah. Okay, well, that doesn't help us a whole lot. Let's see. I'll have to find out. I don't want to take any more of the... Yeah, but good question, and I should have that. I'd love to have that for my own, reference. So anyway, so there you go. I've got homework. So the diphthong then is we, and with the rough breathing, it's an H sound. And then here's another word. This word is hinna. It's an H sound because it has the rough breathing in front, okay? Hina. It's the iota as a short I, the nu and the alpha, Hina. And the word Hina means that. Or it means in order that. And I'll tell you what, maybe we're just going to have to go right on into the Greek class because there are so many cool things. Whenever you see Hina, it means in order that. So in your Bible study, when you see Hina, it means something has been said so that something else will happen. Something has been said in order that this might happen. So when you see Hina, you're looking at a cause and effect in the Bible. And as a Bible student, you're saying, okay, what's the effect and what's the cause? And it really is hard to find it in the English, but in the Greek, it's like, oh, there it is. There's that word Hina. Okay, now I understand. So it's really, tremendous. Now, the smooth reading is the apostrophe that goes the opposite direction, and it has no H, and it's pronounced normal. So if huios didn't have a rough breathing, it would be weos. Okay, there's nothing you do to it. The only thing, but every time there's a vowel or a diphthong, it's going to have one or the other, because it'll indicate to you how to pronounce it. And again, much of this is trying to preserve the language. Like Hebrew never had any vowels. But if you study Hebrew now, biblical or modern, they have vowels. Well, why did they do that? Because they're teaching us how to pronounce it correctly. Okay. And I think that's the same thing with the rough and smooth breathing. Okay. What's that? No. In fact, Yahweh, it was just spelled with these transliterated letters. It would probably have been something along the lines of Yahwah, a YHWH. And then they added points to it, and then it became Jehovah, and that's Yahweh and Adonai placed together. So because of which one? Yahweh?
Because it's an E or the difference in the sound, E versus R. And they said, but whichever way, it's still a miracle. Moses either crossed the Red Sea, or Moses, God drowned the Egyptian army in 18 inches of water in the reed.
Amen.
Either way, it's a miracle.
A great miracle. Amen. So, and it looks like we're probably going to run out of time, but we can go over a little bit, can't we? We're having fun. Okay. And these are probably some of the more technical points, but we're going to be through this here in a moment. I got something really fun for you. Okay. Really fun. Okay. So, that's the rough breathing. Any questions on that? Okay. Next is the accents. Now, okay. All you have to remember with the accents is that once you recognize a syllable has the accent, that's the syllable that you emphasize, okay? Just like with English. But there are three different accents in the Greek language, and we're not going to go over the rules. This is the acute, okay? This is the grave. And this is the circumflex. Okay? And you can forget this after tonight. As long as you know that if you see this, this, or this over a syllable, you just accentuate that syllable. That's all you need to know. Okay? All right. So let's go back here to John 1:1. And okay, let's look in the beginning. Notice it begins with the preposition "en," and does that have a rough breathing or a smooth breathing? Can you see it? A smooth, yes. Okay, and that's that little article that I was telling you about. "En," And then it's RK in the beginning. Notice the alpha has a breathing mark. Is that rough or smooth? Smooth. So I don't add an H. And notice at the very end under the, not under, but over the eta is the circumflex. So it's RK. Okay, it's not RK, it's RK. Okay, don't confuse the rough breathing with the accent. All right. Okay, can you see that little letter underneath the eta? If you can't, good, let's move on. It's called an iota subscript. It's just like having an extra letter, but for some reason they put the iota subscript underneath. It doesn't affect the way you pronounce it. It will make a difference in the endings when you learn the endings, you know. Probably shouldn't have even brought that up. But I knew Randy was going to ask me, so... Okay, so then the next word is ain. Now, there we see both a smooth breathing, and the accent. It's over the first syllable. But we don't say ain with an H. We just say ain. And by the way, that's just one syllable. So then the next one. Okay, look at this next omicron. Who can pronounce that omicron for me? Ha. Ha. That is an article. That's the article the, or one of the articles for the. Okay? So, and articles are so important because it's not just a word, it's the word. Okay? So it's ha, logos. And then you see the logos, it begins with a consonant, not a vowel. Again, this is kind of the more technical part. After tonight, you know, it's not going to be this technical. That's logos. If the accent would be on the last syllable, it would be logos. But it's logos. Okay? Kai, ha, logos, ein, pros, ta, theon. Okay? And, you know, it is helpful to remember that. You know, I haven't always paid a whole lot of attention to the accent when I say the Greek. By the way, a lot of people don't know Greek, so if you mispronounce it anyway, no one's going to know. But I did have a missionary to Greece, was in my church in Texas, and she took me to task and said, that's not how you pronounce that word. And I said, you're absolutely right, and I'm sorry. And from that point on, you know, I made sure that I pronounced it correctly. You do want to try to get that correct. Anyway, so that's the accenting. And you know what? Right now, you're not going to teach a Greek class, okay? You may or may not say a Greek word in your teaching, but you're going to use it mostly for your own study. That's what we're heading for. But I do have to mention these things. Okay, so that's the accent. Now, I guess I want to do two things here. And then we'll conclude and I'll give you homework. Don't thank me now. Don't thank me now. Okay. At some point in here, we're going to go over this tool. But you may want to get this tool ahead of time. If you're starting to make a connection between some of these Greek words and the pronunciations, an invaluable tool is called an interlinear. And Tyrell, would you do me a favor? Would you run upstairs? And on my desk is a white book. It's an interlinear. Would you bring that down, please? Okay, what an interlinear is... It has the English word... Thank you. It has the English word on top... Or no, wait. It has the Greek word on top and the English word right underneath it. It is the best cheater you're ever going to find. And I used to, the former pastor that taught me Greek, he would not want us to use an interlinear, but it's invaluable, especially if you don't know the Greek language. And then on the right side, it has the NASB version, and on the left side, it has the NIV. So the English equivalent is like a literal translation. So there's three translations there in English there, and you have the Greek word. Here's what you can learn just with this tool. And you know what? You can already start using this tool. So you may want to get one. First of all, you can look up the basic definitions of words. Let's do this here. Okay, you know what? It might be on the on that table by the copier. It has NIV NASB on it. If you can't find it, I probably put it somewhere. I don't see where I put it. Okay, let's look at the very top, and it says Paulos. By the way, we know that that's Paul. Then it says doulos, and underneath it has a slave. So if nothing else, with this interlinear, you can find out that the word doulos means a slave or servant. Okay, I think it is closer to slave. You will have some translations that will call him a servant, but doulos does particularly mean a slave. So an interlinear is going to give you some of the basic definitions. The next thing that it will do is it will show you the word order. Okay, so if you're reading it with the English and you go, whoa, that's out of place, it shows you the word order. The next question is, why did the author write those words in that particular order? And many times you can figure out why there's an emphasis there. Now, not always, but many, many times. So you can look at the word order. And the third thing that you can do is many times is you can see a literal interpretation. Okay, what I mean by that is, if you'll notice the second line, the fourth word all the way to the right, that's euangelion. Okay? Euangelion. Now, the U is a diphthong, okay, what we talked about. So, and that word means good, okay? So let me write this down here. Got too many thoughts going through my mind. Okay, that's scary, huh? Okay. Okay, so this diphthong here is also a word, and it means you. It means good. By the way, when you go to a funeral, there is a eulogy. Eulogy means good. Someone is speaking good about the deceased. You speak well of him. Okay? That's what a eulogy is. The next word is, does anybody know what the next word is? Take a guess. Angelion, or, and it comes from, okay, comes from angel. It means message or messenger. Okay? So here is, figure out here. I'm just going to go this way here and stop there. So this would be message. Okay? That's the gospel. The gospel literally means the good message. And now they called it the gospel, but it's the good message. We get some English words out of it like evangelize. Evangelize, and that V and the U got translated funny, but that's where that English word comes from. Evangelize comes from euangelion, means to preach the gospel or give the good news. And so a lot of times also, too, in order to give someone the good news, you have to give them the bad news first, that we're sinners, that we're destined for hell. But let me tell you the good news. Jesus Christ, euangelion, died in your place. So there's so much that you can do with an interlinear. And really, the reason I'm saying this now is because I've got some, you're all very sharp and you're all doing very, very well. You just may want to pick one of these up. Here's one that I like. It's the interlinear NASB and NIV. And that's a page from it right there. And, you know enough. You're going to know enough at the end of this class that you could take this to church. And when your pastor is preaching, if he's in the New Testament, and your pastor is preaching, you could follow along. And if your pastor is going to teach you, you know, Greek, you can say, there it is. I see that. And all of a sudden now your vocabulary starts to become built up, but also your knowledge of the Word of God. So I just said that in case anyone wanted to pursue that. Yes. 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 And we'll talk about that. And I'll wait till the other tools. But that's one tool that I thought you may want to get right away. OK, now for the fun time. All right. Now, everybody has heard about the ichthus. That's not an alpha there. That's a fish. And guess what? Ichthus means fish. And sometimes you'll see them in the back of a bumper. It supposedly means a Christian symbol. Now, why and how? Let me tell you, this is cool. OK, it's because it's an ichthus. And ichthus does mean fish in Greek, but it's also an acronym. We have the iota, chi, theta, upsilon, sigma. By the way, over the iota, can someone tell me if that's a rough or smooth breathing? Smooth. So it's not ichthus. Hey, that's a cool word. That's for redneck Greek right there. It's ichthus. And then, of course, you see the accent is on the second syllable. So it's I'm actually saying it wrong. It's ichthus, you know, ichthus. OK, but that is also an acronym. An acronym, you know, that's where you take the letters, the first letter, and you make a word like grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's reward at Christ's expense. Well, here's ichthus. And what would you just guess that the iota would stand for? And we've discussed the word today in this class, and it begins with one of those Y sounds. Jesus. Okay, so we're going to put Jesus in there. Okay, so the iota stands for Jesus, Jesus. Oops, let's see. How do we do this? Let me think here a second. See, not only do you have to learn Greek and English, but then you have to learn how to write Greek and English on your computer. Okay, so that stands for Jesus. Now, there's the chi. What do you remember what I said the chi stands for? Christ, that's right. So we have Christos. Oops. Stands for Christ. So far, this acronym is saying Jesus Christ. Okay, now what word do you already know begins with a theta? Theos, that's right, God. All right. See, you know what? This is only the second week. This is you're barely into it 2 hours, and already you're telling me the Greek words. I'm so excited. Okay. All right. Now, what possible word would begin with an upsilon? How about the days of Herod? Where it was better to be a huis than a huios. That's exactly right. And forgive me for not putting the rough breathing here, but I don't know how to bring it up on my computer. Okay, let's go back on that one. Oops. Upsilon. Okay, and that means what? Son. Okay. All right, so we're going to say Jesus Christ, God's Son, and then we have one more to do, and it's sigma, and it stands for a word, soter. If you're going to study theology, you'll study one of them called soteriology. Soteriology is the study of salvation, because soter means Savior. Soter means Savior. And so, when we complete it, The ICHTHUS is an acronym for Jesus Christ, God's Son and Savior. And I just think that is absolutely awesome. And I don't know how far back this acronym went, but we certainly know that it did go back to the early times of Christianity, where it said that one person would come by and write one half of the ICHTHUS. And if someone was a Christian and knew that he wrote that, he'd come by and he'd write the other half of the ICHTHUS. And then in that way, you would be able to know that that person was a Christian. Now, why the fish? Well, it very well could be for this acronym. We also know that the fish is used when Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men." We also know Jesus performed one of the miracles when he said, "Throw your nets on the other side." And it was filled with bountiful fish and breaking over. And we also know that when Jesus was resurrected, and one of the times he appeared to his disciples, he called them over to him and he had a fire and he had fish on it. So it's even a part of his resurrection. So this really became one of the symbols from antiquity of what Christianity is. And then now that the fact that you know Greek and know these words, I just love it, you know. So the ICHTHUS then is Iota Chi Theos Upsilon Sigma, Jesus Christ, God's Son and Savior. And if nothing else, you now know at least five Greek words and five huge, important Greek words. Okay. All right. I've taken enough of your time. Thank you so much. If you'll look at your notes on the last part of the paper, there's some biblical translations there. What you are to do is you are to go to the Bible, go to that passage, and find out what that word means. Now, again, I'm doing this to show you that you know so many Greek words already. You are the light of the... What's the Greek word? Cosmos. Cosmos. And we've heard of cosmos, and it means world. And you're exactly right, Carol. The word cosmos in Greek means order. You know, it's the world is bringing order. What's an English word that we get from that? Cosmology, or here's a better one, cosmetics. Now, what is a cosmetic? It's taking disorder and making order. Well, anyway, Matthew 5:14. Let's see. If you're real interested, what I can do for y'all is I can go copy the page of Matthew 5 from the interlinear, and it'll just take me 3 minutes to do that. I want the English word there. I want you to be able to pronounce it though, and then I want you to just kind of realize you probably already know. Yeah, you know every one of these words. They're in our English language. Let's see here. I just want to check something out real quick. Abolish the law or the prophets. That's exactly right. Okay, let's see here. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. We'll close in a word of prayer, and then I'll go copy this real quick, and I'll give you the interlinear page that has these translations in. Okay? All right, let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, there is so much in this Greek language that just makes things so much understandable. It connects so many dots, Lord. But most of all, it draws us closer to Jesus Christ, who is God's Son and our Savior. So, Father, we thank you that at some point in our lives, by the grace of God, we have placed our faith into Christ. We have believed on Him And because of that, the Holy Spirit has placed us in Christ. And we're secure, and we have every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the heavenlies. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, let me go copy that. Amen. I probably went way over that, but that's okay. Yeah.